So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 27, attack by Chandavega on the city of Paranja. This is a long purport and we only have a little time left. So, we're not going to... We'll repeat the verse, but not everyone will get a chance to. Putranam chabhavan putra. Ekaikasya shitam shitam Yaravai poranjano vangsa Pangshaleshu sameditaha. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Of these many sons, each produce hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by the sons and grandsons of King Paranjan. Please repeat. Of these many sons, each produced hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by the sons and grandsons of King Paranjan. Purport. We must remember that Paranjan is the living entity and the city of Panchala is the body. The body is a field of activity for the living entity, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Kshetra, Kshetra, Gya. There are two constituents. One is the living entity, Kshetra, Gya. And the other is the body of the living entity, Kshetra. Any living entity can know that he is covered by the body if he only contemplates the body a little bit. Just with a little contemplation, he can come to understand that the body is his possession. One can understand that this by practical experience and by the authority of the Shastras. In Bhagavad Gita 2.13, it is said, Deno sminyata dehehi. The proprietor of the body, the soul, is within the body. The body is taken as panchala desha, or the field of activities wherein the living entity can enjoy the senses in their relationship to the five sense objects, namely ganda, rasa, rupa, sparsha, and shabda. That is, sense objects made out of earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Within this material world, covered by the material body of subtle and gross matter, every living entity creates actions and reactions which are herein known allegorically as sons and grandsons. There are two kinds of actions and reactions, namely pious and impious. In this way, our material existence becomes coded by different actions and reactions. In this regard, Srila Narottam Das Thakura states, Karmakanda Jnanakanda Kevala Vishera Banda Amrita Balia Yeva Kaya Nana Yoni Sada Pire Kadarya Bhakshana Kare Tara Janma Ada Patayaya. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are simply cups of poison. Whoever drinks of them, thinking them to be nectar, must struggle very hard life after life in different types of bodies. Such a person eats all kinds of nonsense, becomes condemned by his activities to so-called sense enjoyment. Thus, the field of action and reactions by which one's descendants are increased begins with sex life. Paranjan increased his whole family by begetting sons, who in their turn begot grandsons. Thus, the living entity being inclined towards sexual gratification becomes involved in many hundreds and thousands of actions and reactions. In this way, he remains within the material world simply for the purpose of sense gratification and transmigrates from one body to another. This process of reproducing so many sons and grandsons results in so-called societies, nations, communities, and so on. All these communities, societies, dynasties, and nations simply expand sex life. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Yanmai Tunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hitucham. A Grihamedi is one who wants to remain within this material existence. This means that he wants to remain within this body or society and enjoy friendship, love, and community. His only enjoyment is increasing the number of sex enjoyers. He enjoys sex and produces children, when their turn marry and produce grandchildren. The grandchildren also marry and in their turn produce great-grandchildren. In this way, the entire earth becomes overpopulated. And then suddenly there are reactions provoked by material nature in the form of war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes, etc. Thus the entire population is again extinguished, simply to be recreated. This process is explained in the Bhagavad Gita 8.19 as repeated creation annihilation, bhutva bhutva praliyate. Due to a lack of Krishna consciousness, all this creation annihilation is going on under the name of human civilization. This cycle continues due to man's lack of knowledge of the soul and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the text again. Putranam cha bhavan putra ekaikasya shatam shatam yaravai puranjano vangsha panchaleshu samedita. Of these many sons, each produce hundreds and hundreds of grandsons. In this way, the whole city of Panchala became overcrowded by these sons and grandsons of King Puranjan. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatun Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Patskadhyade Siddharna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for people who are willing to give up material conceptions, because it states at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, Dharmak Prayojita Kaitavat Tra Paramo Nimatsaranam Sitam. Dharmak Prayojita Kaitava. The Bhagavatam rejects cheating types of religion. Religion is generally aimed at teaching us how to live in the material world so we can get our resources and what we need for enjoying our senses in the best possible way, and then eventually trying to get out of the miseries that come from our seeking after sense gratification. Because as soon as there is material enjoyment, there will be enjoyment, and there will also be problems. Of course, we don't like to hear about, we like to hear about other people's problems. We don't like to have problems ourselves. We take pleasure, the materialist takes pleasure in hearing about other people's problems because it makes him feel better. Whatever problems he has, he feels are insignificant compared to other people's problems that he reads about. But after all, as Prabhupada explains at the end of the verse, the whole solution to our material existence is to find out about the soul and the super soul. Besides that, besides the soul and the super soul, there's certainly something going on in the material world. It's just not what we think it is. What we think is going on in the material world is a whole pastime or adventures, where we're in the center to some extent of this pastime, and we have the ability to judge what's good and what's bad, who's blessed and who's condemned. In this way we have a whole conception that somehow or another I've advented myself as an avatar. Although, as I've said before, we're the mudha avatars, the fool avatars. So we've advented ourselves into the material world in the form of this body, and we think we have our pastimes. And of course, pastimes for us have to do with santa ras, that is, collecting as much paraphernalia as possible to make our existence as peaceful and as pleasant as possible. Of course, real Shantaras is when we don't have any material paraphernalia, and therefore it could be understood that generally speaking, people who are closer to Shantaras, they at least have less attachment to their material paraphernalia if they're using it in Krishna service, or they actually have less material paraphernalia. Because the more material things we're surrounded by, then the more we have problems trying to deal with them. Trying to control material energy and enjoy it is a great endeavor, because material nature is out of our control and is not enjoyable. Therefore, when we attempt to enjoy and control it, it becomes quite a scene. Now, beyond that, we have Sakya Rasa in the spiritual world. And here, we have Sakya Rasa, people who help us accumulate our paraphernalia to lord it over with material nature and enjoy it. So those are our friends. And our enemies are those who are trying to take away our material paraphernalia and are obstacles for our enjoyment or even causing our suffering here. So they become our enemies. So friends and enemies is all about the material energy. And then again, we have our parents who train us how to enjoy the material nature and control it from the very beginning. And those who are more expert than we are at controlling and enjoying material nature, we take as our guru type of parent. And in the spiritual world, of course, Krishna has his relationship with his parents, but the aim is different. Oh, then we skip servitorship, which is along similar lines. And ultimately, there is conjugal love in the spiritual world between Krishna and his intimate devotees, the gopis. And here, it's all based upon so-called conjugal love, but it's just an imitation. And therefore, it's not really satisfying when it's done without any conception of Krishna consciousness. In other words, there are different degrees of intensity of trying to control material nature and enjoy it, culminating in conjugal love. But from the beginning to the end, it is a great struggle. Therefore, Krishna says, Karshati, Mamayvangso, Jivaloke, Jiva Bhutak Sanatanam, Manakshastra Nindriyani, Prakriti Stani Karshati. That we're all part and parcel of Krishna, but we're in the material world now struggling. But it's hard for us to admit that it's actually a struggle. We actually think somehow or another, especially when we get to the human form of life, that we're winning the struggle. And that with a little bit more education, a little bit more practice, I can actually become a better controller and a better enjoyer. And even seemingly, due to our past activities, we surrendered, and therefore apparently we become better controllers and enjoyers in this lifetime. But the fact is, what we're trying to control is always changing, and what we're trying to enjoy is not enjoyable. Therefore, it's all based upon illusion. It's like trying to, you know, build a castle of water in the ocean, made out of water, and then try to defend it. Quite a task. Because it only exists practically in your imagination, and your whole struggle to maintain it is just another product of imagination. Because by the time you're struggling, it's already disappeared. So we've created, by our past activities, conceptions, and therefore, well, we've been provided conceptions, we become attached to them, and therefore in this lifetime they're reappearing before us, and we become attached to them again, and they disappear practically as quickly as we become attached to them, and therefore we're struggling to keep our illusions together. And they grow. Material illusions, the more we struggle, it's just like when we're in quicksand. If you're in quicksand, it's rather unpleasant. And of course, you want to get out. But to get out of quicksand, the more you struggle, then the quicker you sink. So in the material existence, we like the illusions, some illusions, and then we quickly find out that they're what they produce is not very desirable. And then we dislike them. The same illusion we are attached to quickly becomes unpleasant to us, because The happiness we feel in the illusions is all mental, is all a conception. And when we get to feel, experience the reality of that conception, then we dislike it. But as long as we struggle in material existence, then what happens when we dislike the illusion, we try to get rid of it, it produces simply more illusion, because it was never this attachment and aversion. It's simply both products of illusion, and they just produce more and more illusions. Of course, if one works in the material world according to the prescribed method, whether it be household life, or friendship, or servitorship, or parenthood, if one works according to the prescribed method, then the illusion goes away. It's not that in the Krishna consciousness movement we're forcing ourselves to restrain from sex life, and we don't really like marriage, but you know, most of the devotees somehow or another get involved in it, so we accept it externally. But everything else, we're just floating around in pure Krishna consciousness. No, it's not exactly like that. Every relationship there has some lesson to learn, whether it be Shanta Rasa, how to utilize this energy in Krishna's service, or our relationships of being a master or a servant, being a friend or a parent, or being a conjugal lover. All these things have to be done in the consciousness of Krishna consciousness. It is not that I can be a brahmachari or a vanaprastha or a sannyasi and enjoy the illusion and feel good about it because I'm in a good illusion, and these householders, they're in a bad illusion. No, it's everyone. It doesn't really matter what our material position is. The whole idea is how to utilize this particular situation and simply dedicate it to Krishna. Then everyone gets equally benefited. There's no benefit for any particular kind of illusion in the material world. Although household life, because of its tendency for accumulation, especially if it's unnecessary accumulation, with the idea that sutaptu vitara janasya moho yamahang mameti, if we do it outside of Krishna consciousness, it becomes more and more complicated. Well, real brahmachari life, real vanaprastha life, and real sannyasi life will have a certain amount of restrictions. It's, of course, that sometimes is overcome anyhow, because it's Kali Yuga. It says in Kali Yuga, then the householders have to go to the sannyasis and beg. So that's possible in Kali Yuga too. Anything's possible. But generally speaking, brahmachari life, of course, even we can see that even that, we have brahmachari, we have brahmastras. Brahmastra is a cross between a householder and a brahmachari. They have all the paraphernalia of a grihastha, but without the wife and children. Or sometimes they have girlfriends instead. So they're brahmastras because they're ready to explode at any time. In any case, by nature, household life, if it's utilized strictly in Krishna consciousness, if the wife and children are engaged in Krishna consciousness, and of course Prabhupada saw that as sending the children ideally to a gurukul, where they learn from the beginning of their lives about Krishna consciousness, and the whole family, even they may be earning money and doing so many things, but it's all centered around Krishna, the deity in the house, the hearing and chanting about Krishna, offering food to Krishna. So everything is dovetailed for Krishna's service. Then gradually these illusions go away, and one can actually see the wife and children as eternal souls, and therefore treat them with actual respect rather than as their master, but as their servant, engaging them in Krishna's service. Otherwise, then, whatever service we have, if we believe within our heart that we're actually the master rather than the servant, then we'll simply get into trouble, and this will create actions and reactions because as soon as we want to be the master, then we'll find ourselves in competition with so many other people struggling to become the master. And this competition, everyone loses because no one really becomes, everyone is the servant of illusion. On the other hand, when we try to become the servant of Krishna, then we become the master of illusion or the master of our senses and mind. By becoming, taking shelter of Krishna, then under the internal energy, Daivi Prakritim Ashitya, then Krishna takes control of our senses and mind, and we no longer have to struggle with them, and instead Krishna becomes the, ultimately for the pure devotees, he becomes the servant of his servants. Because his servants only want to please Krishna, and therefore they want the best for everyone, but Krishna is very willing, one who has that consciousness, to act as his servant. Therefore one can do something effectively to spread Krishna consciousness, because one is not trying to do it by oneself, one is doing it with the full assistance of Krishna. On the other hand, when we ourselves are struggling to get out of our illusions, we may get some assistance from Krishna, certainly to spread Krishna consciousness, but we're mostly we need assistance from him how to get out of our illusions before we can become completely effective to spreading Krishna's mission. So, if we're going to follow the, be a faithful servant and follow the schedule, we'll have to ask questions now. Any questions? Yeah. Yeah, of course, you can watch television about Krishna. Yeah, that's all right. Not so much. Better, I mean, it's nice to watch these movies about Krishna, but on the other hand, usually they're all modified to get a bit bigger audience, except for instance, the lectures by Prabhupada, and things related to that are strictly in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the general tendency is we start watching movies and it expands and expands and expands, and you know, suddenly we're, you know, who knows what we're watching. And we're actually believing it's related to Krishna because they mention the name of Krishna once in 3 hours in the movie. Or it has some name like Avatar, and therefore it must be bona fide. Although it has nothing to do with Krishna. So Maya will always try to buy her, because the material world works by association. So as soon as we associate the movies with Krishna, then we start associating all kinds of movies with Krishna. Although it may become more and more indirect, to the point that it's has nothing to do with Krishna. So Maya just doesn't say, you know, by the way, take this first step, and this is just a trick. I'm just trying to get you bewildered completely, but if I told you that, you get insulted. Therefore, I'm offering you something that feels completely acceptable to you. So you don't have to feel guilty at all. And even the super soul tells you, don't do it. She's tricking you. Don't listen to him because it's so simple and harmless. And besides that, Maya says, I'll protect you. I'll make sure you don't get any lower than that. And even you're on completely on the bottom, Maya is saying, well, I told you so. I mean, this is my job. What can I do? I just work for these people. Yes. We hope so. There should be some difference. If one is actually a good brahmachari or grihasa or a sannyasi, is the difference only external? Yeah. If they're actually good, then whatever their situation, they understand that everything is Krishna's property, meant for his pleasure. That includes the wife and the children. Everything is Krishna's property. It's not mine or the husband. It all belongs to Krishna. And I'm simply an instrument for Krishna to help them advance in Krishna's service. Then it doesn't matter if we're thinking like that. Because it's not only grihasthas have relationships. We all have relationships. Someone may be our friend. Someone may be our assistant. Someone may be our master. Someone may be our parents. But we should all take that understanding. I'm only existing in relationship to them to help them somehow or another become Krishna conscious. Then the relationship becomes spiritual. Otherwise, it's mundane. Anything else?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
It's more experience, more time spent in spiritual life. And the sannyasi is the spiritual master of the entire society. He's supposed to be realized.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly true. Therefore, it's a great disappointment when you get sannyasis. They go from brahmachari, grihastha, sannyas, and then back to grihastha again. Or they become who knows what. So that's a great disappointment. It means that somehow or another the system doesn't work. We're not really training people. It's just superficial. People are taking positions superficially. Neither they're brahmacharis, nor are they real grihasthas, nor are they... And if you're not a real brahmachari, you don't learn what we're supposed to learn brahmachari life, it's doubtful you're probably going to learn in grihastha life. And if you don't learn in grihastha life, then you're not going to become a very good sannyasi either. Yes.
But there are cases of somebody was like a lousy brahmachari, and then it became grihastha, it became very buckled.
Well, that's good. It means they got a good wife. Train them up. I got some training along the way. Otherwise, how did it happen? Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.